Lord, we thank you for Pastor Alwyn. We thank you for the musicians that so humbly serve, but are so talented. I thank you for that jazz band that was there and how they are so well known, and yet they came in the afternoon on Sunday to just bless us as we were in between teaching. Thank you, Lord, for what a church of so many different colored skinned people, just all in love with one another and with you. And I pray for Horizon Christian Fellowship, Lord, that we would just be a church of love, and that we would not hold our friends back from what we know and hide our light under a bushel, but we would reach out to them. And we pray that we'll be used in San Diego to win even more people to the Lord. Father, as we hear things of our town that are disturbing, and it seems like violence and murders and rapes have increased here the last 6 months, we just know that's because the church is not being the salt of the earth. And we're asking, God, that you would get the most troubled people in here to get saved and healed in their heads and hearts. We pray that we would not grow old and stifled and stodgy and conservative in our way that we worship or even preach or teach or listen, but we'd be on fire for you because you were willing to go to the cross for us. So I ask now, like in the first service, that you would open our understanding as we see these great things that you have done. God, we want more of you. We're desperate because we're nothing without you, and we can accomplish nothing without you. So God, please, please, please pour your spirit out on every woman sitting here and light her up like Lucy, and someone that just has a child to raise and a husband to look after and yet has this brilliant ministry of being able to meet tens of thousands of people and be humble about it. Help us all, whatever kind of a job we have, we do it to your glory. Lord, let us see our flesh die and surrender to you. God, get us off the fence. Keep us from being lukewarm. Light the fire in our hearts, Lord, and let us stand for you and enter into the battle as the laborers are few. Bless your word now and pour it into the souls of those that are willing to receive. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Chapter 8, verse 19. We ended with the sufferings of this present time that you and I can suffer through are not worthy to be compared at all to the glory, or with the glory, which is going to be revealed in us. And there is a tremendous glory that is going to be in us that will come out of us, and we will no longer be living in these bodies, that God would use us as his vessels. And that's who we are and really what we are. For here he tells us, the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Would you circle in the two verses the words creation? It's come out in just two verses. Nothing about evolution. It's about creation. I'd like you to just take note because you're going to see it many more times. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing or the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creation, and there we go again, the creation was subjected to futility, so it's decaying, it's rotting, it's falling apart, not willingly, but because of him, God, who subjected it in hope. And because the creation, there it is again, itself also will be delivered. The creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. That's you and me. There's something about you and me we don't have yet that Paul saw. And we know, underline that, that's very emphatic. We know this as a fact as Christian men and women, that the whole creation, now he uses the word again, but he gives us a descriptive part, the whole creation, not part of it or some of it or an evolutionary thing or something scientists can come up with 2,000 years later. But we know this right now, first century, that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. And not only that, that's an expletive, it's an excitement. Not only that, let me tell you this. I can get your payments down to whatever you want them. You know, it's like he's selling us here. But not only that, that's all great news, but I've got something here for you. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, Christians, we groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Oh, Lord, come quickly. How often you've done that. Groaned. For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with, say the word together with me, perseverance. We're not wimps. We eagerly wait for it with perseverance. We persevere. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought to. But the Holy Spirit, now this is so great because you say, well, I don't want to pray. I don't want to go to a prayer meeting. The Holy Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Sometimes, you know, you get hit. I make a hospital call and I overlap into other people's rooms that don't know me and I let them know I'm a minister and you see the injustices of life and it's just, ooh, to the parking lot. You know, just, ugh, you just can't utter. But the Spirit in you can utter. And he's inside of me and he's looking at my heart and he knows what I would say. And the wonderful thing is the book of Revelation says that the prayers are working with the Holy Spirit, since you just saw he's working. The angels are working in conjunction because the prayers are carried in golden vials, which that word for vials was not a tube. I was happy to look that up. It didn't mean that. It meant a deep, shallow bowl, shallow going this way and deep in the center, that it didn't fill all the way to the top. But otherwise, the prayers were down here, and the angels carry them into the throne room, and there's sweet fragrance like an aroma. It's like we're here right now, and God wants you to know he's here. And there's a restlessness in the crowd that I'm just waiting for it to settle down so God can say what he wants to say to you. And once it settles down, then you're open because you see the distractions and you feel it and you don't know what it is. But the angels are waiting for prayer, for more people to pray so they can fill a bowl and go see him. And you're not just sitting here thinking you've come to church, but you've come to hear about God and that he loves you. And he wants his presence to just manifest itself to you. But some are not ready. You're not mature enough. It would scare the dickens out of you. You got your head shaved and you'd grow an afro immediately if he tapped your shoulder and said, hey, I'm talking to you. He loves you. Give him a moment. You're going to be gone in a few moments. Let him just show himself to you. Because you show yourself to him when you talk from your heart. And if you haven't been talking, this is a great place to talk with hundreds of Christians around you and hundreds on the internet and radio network, thousands. So this is a worship time, even when you're listening. Worship him. Tell him how much you love him. He sent you your pastor back from England that's telling you there's something going on that he doesn't have words for. But the Holy Spirit can speak to your heart. And he can take prayers up to God. Even when we don't know what it is we should say. So we've seen therefore, and not only that, and we know there's hope. Hope does not disappoint, he tells us in the fifth chapter. But here he says, for we were saved in this hope. What? The hope that our bodies would be changed and we'd go to heaven. But hope, you know, we've learned from our president, I can give you hope and change. With real change, yeah, we got pocket change left, that's all. We ourselves groan, eagerly waiting for the adoption of the redemption of our body. We're saved in this hope, but hope that is seen, it's no longer hope. For why does one still hope for what he can see? You've got it. You don't hope for that anymore. You hope for what you can't see. But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit. Just in the same manner, you're waiting now, you're going to say, okay, I've been waiting 5 years. I really haven't done much, just I'm waiting. He hasn't told me to go forward. I've just been, and I've watched him, I've watched him work inside of this church and prune and cut back, and people leave and people come, and it's just on hold because he's going to do something brand new. I don't want to miss it. So I have a great expectation in perseverance that God wants to do something special with you. So we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. I just want to ask by a show of hand, other than myself, is there anyone here that has weaknesses of any kind? Real? Oh, I'm among friends. Okay, I guess I can take my shoes off, my boots. Just think of that. When you're humble enough to admit that you have weaknesses, God can work. You don't have to hold on to everything. You don't need to be in charge of everything. You don't need to fix everything. You don't have to have everything your way. People are not lesser human beings because they don't live up to your standard. Your weaknesses, just let go. And that old saying, let God. Well, here you just found a verse. He is helping us with our weaknesses. And that's when you can say, Lord, I can't do it. Would you please help me? I can't do it. So he will speak in intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is. God is searching your heart right now as we're here together to worship him. He's searching our hearts. And that's why in the Old Testament it says, create in me a clean heart. Renew within me a right spirit. That man that wrote that down, he knew that his heart wasn't perfect. And he knew that his spirit was empty. Now maybe your spirit is empty and you're not very spiritual right now. Well, just cry out that prayer. It's a beautiful song. Create in me a clean heart. God, you create the clean heart. Renew a right spirit in me. I used to have one, but I don't. You've quote-unquote backslidden. You've fallen away. You're into some old things that you know you should get out of. And today's the day. So you just say, God, you create. I'm trying to do good things and feel good about myself to cover up what I've done. You create. It's your job. Create a clean heart in me. Forgive me for the filth that I've allowed to come into my heart. Renew a right spirit in me. Renew it. On the way back, there was this giant of a German man. He was from Germany. And I could tell the way he talked, and I heard him tell me that. And his wife and daughter were sitting in front in the rows up ahead of us. And I was watching a movie, and I thought it was just a basic thriller movie. And all of a sudden, there came a scene with a guy and a girl. And said, so I grabbed the remote, and he kept looking over at my screen. And I said, I don't want him to see this. I was pushing the thing, and what I did is I got slow motion of that scene. And he's looking over, and I wonder, why are you looking? And then somebody stands right behind my row, and they have their elbow on. I mean, they're looking at this ugly scene. So I lean into the thing, and I'm going, oh, I got it. I got it. Oh, no. What? Oh, I just changed the size of the screen. Oh, now they're going like that fast. Oh, no. I couldn't erase it. And then I thought of my heart. I don't like to see things like that. A little bit of it came into my mind, and I, for a few moments, had it in slow motion, and I had it going fast, and then just the thought of it, and the fear that is one of you that put your elbow on my, and were standing there watching what I was watching, and you were rebuking me in the spirit, and this guy over here was a Secret Service Christian church agent that was, what you watching over there? What you watching over there? What you watching over there? Well, yeah, I mean, I'm being serious, but I felt so bad. But I did think kind of stupid. I'm trying to get this thing out of the world, and I made it more accessible. I didn't mean that. So I realized thoughts, oh, dirty thoughts. Oh, Lord, please erase them with the blood of Jesus. That works for me. I'm serious. It's worked for years. Erase that tape. I don't ever want to see that person in my mind again. Don't want to get that movie out of there and... please erase it and ask the Lord to create a clean heart. And he does. So I know in a crowd this size, there's some of you that do not have a clean heart. It's filthy. It's dirty. You're looking at things you shouldn't be looking at. And so it creates in your heart filth. It's that filth that 2,000 years ago, supernaturally, God seeing the future, took that filth and put it on his son, and then condemned his son to death because of that filth in your unclean heart. So I don't want to re-crucify Christ. He was crucified once. He was buried and raised from the dead. And some doctrines say we keep crucifying Christ so we have these communion services. And that's not biblical. Maybe churchical, but it's not biblical. So whatever is in your heart, God, as we get ready to take communion, create in me a clean heart. And then you be honest with yourself. I got talking to this man. Sounds like a very successful photographer from London. And his buddy was from Spain. And he said, how can I get involved with what you're doing? I'm so excited to hear what you do and what your church is like. You need a photographer. And I said, not at $400 an hour, but if it's free. I said, you know what you need to do? I was 26 years old when I came to the Lord. He said, well, I'm 26 years old. And I said, I could tell you what all the things you're involved in right now. He said, don't do it, please. I'm ashamed. And I said, well, that's why God is speaking to you. You heard God speak when I spoke. So you come to San Diego, go to the Horizon School of Evangelism, and at the end of that, ask God, what is it I'm supposed to do for you? I want to surrender myself and never live the life I have been living. Would you be willing to do that? I got a text, an email from him yesterday. When can I come? I've got several people from England that want to come. It's kind of an amazing thought. Oh, this is cool. I learned this from Jerry Lee Lewis. No, this is cool. I'm standing talking to people as they're leaving on Saturday, and this young man, about 6'3", is taller than me, probably 24 or something. He says, thank you for sending Bill Goodrich to the Ukraine. Bill Goodrich, I led Bill and Vi to the Lord when we first started in San Diego. And she was a beautiful stewardess for PSA Airlines, and he was a realtor. He flew in Vietnam in the back seat of jets. And they both came to the Lord together, and their lives were changed. Well, Bill just, you know, I'd ask him to do stuff, and he'd do it. He just wanted somebody to teach him, and he became my assistant pastor after a few years. And then for about 8 to 10 years, he was the church administrator. And then it was time for him to leave and some other people at the same time. And so I said, well, just, you know, keep praying, and I'll pray. And all of you that feel something new's coming, pray. We'll see what God does. So Bill went back to Indianapolis, where he's from, and Vi and her sister had an apartment, condo there, and they moved in really with no money. They started a Bible study with just them and then a couple of her friends, and today it's Horizon Christian Fellowship of Indianapolis. They have an 88, well, they got more, over 100 acres now of property, have a beautiful elementary, junior, high school. They have dormitories. They have a camp there. They have rope deals. You slide down in the forest, the virgin forest. There's lakes and ponds on the church property. Just beautiful. And then he felt God spoke to him. Bill's a great prayer warrior. And he prayed about a school that the school district wanted to sell. Then it was down in one of the rougher areas, and Bill went down there without any money, and he bid $26,000 on this two-story brick school, and that was the winning bid. But he didn't have the money. They said, you over here, you get the school. And a man walked up to him, and he said, I own the businesses on the left-hand side of this school, and you will have a check if you come over to my office, and I will give you the $26,000. And I don't think he was a Christian man, but the point was that if somebody good the name of Jesus was coming next door, he knew the gang problems. It was a very wise thought of him, why he'd invest. So now, out of that church, there are now churches throughout the country. And there are 9 Horizons in Indianapolis, and there are others in Wisconsin, Illinois, and other places in Indianapolis. So I'm standing there, and this guy says, thank you for sending us Bill Goodrich. And I'm thinking, Indiana. Well, Bill got a heart for the Ukraine. And he said, I'm from the Ukraine. I said, oh, yeah. He said, Bill has started several churches. And we've grown up with him and George Markey and his family. And now we have just started churches in Kyrgyzstan, two or three. He said, Mike, do you know that there are now 15 to 20 Horizons just in the Ukraine and now into Kyrgyzstan? I said, no, I didn't know that. And then his wife came up and he said, you know, she came to Jesus. Bill led her to the Lord in Ukraine. And then she kept telling me, as her boyfriend, come to church. We're not going to church. And he came, and the second time he gave his heart to Jesus. Now they are, he's in a business. His company moved him to London, but he's in like Bible school through the church and wants to be a minister when he goes back to his people. So you sit here, and one man and one woman who had every problem you and I have had, heard God call him, go to Indianapolis, have no money to speak of, maybe a couple hundred bucks in the bank, take their two little children, and God, through them, what he saw here, worked through Bill, happened, and now it's happening in the Ukraine, which is a pretty big place, and Kyrgyzstan, which is a full-blown Muslim country. You are there. People like you are exactly who God uses. He uses you. So before we take the communion, let me leave you with some pencil work. If you would please take out a pen, or a pen would be best, and I want you to circle some special words for what God has done for you. Verse 19, I want to point out, earnest. Write that one down or circle it. Earnest. You know, when somebody's really earnest, in a real estate sense, it's a down payment. They will give you, here's a check for $10,000. I'm earnest about buying this property. Let me talk to my banker, and then we'll write the deal. It's earnest money. Very strongly committed. So verse 19, for the earnest expectation. So a lot of people are losing their expectations and their hope in this country. I'm sorry. Our country's really in trouble. Expectations. Did you quit having expectations? Europe has. The talk from the European people, how angry they are against the euro, the confederation, that they lost their Italian name. They lost their French name. England has fought about being a part of that. And financially, they did not accept the euro dollar, and they're the only one that's making it. The way they look at us, they feel sorry for us because we are asleep and we don't know how immoral even our TV commercials look, even to them. We've lost it. I only have a few years left, and some of you have many years left, but I'll spend my few trying to bring people back to the core of their faith in Jesus Christ, that the people that are called my grandkids and the mom and dad of two of my great-grandsons are sitting here. I want them to have a chance. And it's not going to be a dollar bill. I don't have those to give. But it is going to be faith. It is going to be hope. It is going to be truth. And it is going to be justice. God is a just God. And where there's an injustice, he looks for men that will stand for righteousness and make a just decision, not a political correct decision. Earnestly, expectation in the word creation. Because we find it so many times in this discussion. Earnest, expectation, creation, eagerly waits, and then revealing the sons of God. Creation was cursed when mankind sinned. Trees weren't designed to die. Flowers were not designed to die. Rot, mold, and decay were not designed into the picture. When God finished the creation, he said, it is good. So everything was good. I'm taking a midterm tomorrow for a science class I'm taking, and it taught me some good things about the young earth and the old earth. And the debate has always been evolution versus creation. And the atheists have accepted the evolution and put it into every school board and to every college and taken away the concept of creation. There's something bigger than government. No. We all evolve. Government. Tax you a little here, tax you a little there, tax you a little. Government. Oh, bless you, government. Oh, our Savior is. That's what's happening. But that I stand before you and tell you is a lie, that the Lord God Almighty is healthy and alive and sitting on his throne. He's never had a cold or a sniffle in his nose, and he has all power in heaven and earth. All creation. You know, some scientists came together, and this fall we're going to have scientists here on Sunday mornings teaching about the dinosaurs and the creation. Christian men and women that are really, really bright and good communicators. Because if they get a little beyond what you can understand, I'll just get up here with a comic book about dinosaurs and read it, and you'll get it. But they're great. You know, this was a paper I wrote last week for this class. I was telling the professor that this one thought of helium, I didn't know helium was the lightest atom structure thing on the earth next to hydrogen. But since God spoke here about creation, scientists started saying, well, the Bible does say that. We don't accept it. But the Christian scientists now turn their minds to forget evolution, forget everything I've been trained in school. God's speaking to them now, creation. And what does it say here? Creation was subjected to futility, not willingly. So it didn't willingly say we're going to start dying and rivers will get polluted. In futility, it is alive, but it can't fight it. Now the world comes along and says, Mother Nature. Mother Nature, have you ever heard that? Oh, that's Mother Nature. Let's go camping in Mother Nature. Do you know that's an Eastern Hinduism philosophy that is in America under the guise of Mother Nature? Elton John singing in the jungle movie, The Circle of Life, The Circle of Life. And that's pure Hinduism, The Circle of Life. You see, the circle of life doesn't have anything for you to start or stop at other than losing, that you'll keep coming back as a ruptured bullfrog or an old horse somewhere in a stable. Great hope. It keeps you away from creator creation, you. No, creator you creation. You're over the creation. But oh no, if there's a Willy Wally shrimp anywhere near your backyard and you asked to do a room extension with the San Diego Building Department. Oh, no, those Willy Wally shrimps, they were here since the dinosaurs. They're in that PB area. You cannot build out there. You hire a lawyer. You spend $200,000 just fighting to do what you should be able to do on your own property. Oh, the spotted owl. Did you spot one? No. Have you ever seen one? No. I've talked to a lot. Anybody here ever seen a spotted owl? But those spotted owls, they had to change the whole Environmental Protection Agency over spotted owls. And Paul started this book in Romans out in chapter 1, saying that man loves the creature, serves the creature, rather than the creator. And so every science class, every altered, revised history book, everything about history has been revised in a way that the heavens have been shut up from you and your children and your future grandchildren. And government is the provider for your gasoline. Government provides the bread and the food. Government takes care of you with their really brilliant medical system. They take care of you with your retirement system. We will really take care of you. And yet, the average member of the House is worth $11.3 million. A bunch of millionaires that are making decisions for you and I are just waiting for next week's paycheck. And how am I going to pay what the insurance company didn't pay at my last visit? You see, government, right at this point, is not of the people or for the people, and it's definitely not by the people. For government has made decisions without even doing what the Congress says, what the Constitution says. What is being done is what they want. In verse 20, circle the word creation, subjected, futility, not willingly. So there is an earnest expectation of creation, eagerly waiting for the revelation of the sons of God. Creation is subjected, verse 20, in futility, not willingly. It doesn't want to be old and die. Verse 21, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Glorious liberty. You have glorious liberty from the Creator. So in chapter, verse 21, creation itself, circle that, and delivered. Bondage of corruption, glorious liberty, children of God. So just with those words, we have an earnest expectation of creation, eagerly awaits the revealing of the sons of God. Creation is subjected to futility. It's dying. It gets old. It turns brown. The limbs fall off, not willingly. Creation itself will be delivered from the bondage of corruption through the glorious liberty of God's children. Wow. Things are going to change. That's what it says. That when Jesus appears, there's going to be 1,000 years on this planet where Satan will be chained into the bowels of the earth. We have, if I'm not mistaken, 7 miles of earth crust and 174 miles of the next layer, the mantle, and then go to the core and the inner core. Helium. Helium is so light that it rises, they found out, from the interior of the earth. So it moves through rocks, dirt, sand, silica, shale, keeps moving, it comes up to that crust, the dirt. And when it gets to the crust, it may have hit a rock, and it is so small, it can come through the tiniest pores, and then it rises to our atmosphere. And helium can be used for something else than you and me talking like Donald Duck with a balloon. Seriously, can. Helium can be mathematically followed. So these scientists started for a few years tracking helium. And they found out that every year, X amount of helium comes from the earth and makes it into our atmosphere. And every year, this amount of helium that has already been there dissipates. So the positive or the negative number came to them. And they realized if we can extrapolate this out, we can go backwards and we can tell how old the earth is. When did this helium start filling our atmosphere? And they found out it was less than 10,000 years ago. Most things that they're finding was 5,000 to 7,000 years ago. The one thing that the secular scientist or researcher does not have is Noah's flood. Scientists have found out that there's a decay factor in everything. Well, it's really sin has come in, and it's what you just read there. In futility, the earth is just falling apart. If you look at the earth as a circle, God very wisely put a magnetic band around it, a magnetism going both ways. And rocks point the correct way of the magnetism, and some can spread out and show three ways. So even the rocks, when Jesus said, when the people said, tell your people to quit praising you, Jesus said, these very rocks will praise me. God is amazing, because scientists say that if you gave our magnetic system that protects our earth from the bombardment of things that we don't even know about, even rays that can kill us, if we gave it a 1,400-year half-life, meaning 1,400 years from now, the strength of our magnetic barrier would be half of what it is today. And they have been following this since 1835. And they realistically know they have to go backwards with a half. And how many half-lives has it been since God first put man on here? Because if the magnetism was too much, there's no way life could be here. It would be very, very distorted, whatever it would be. Then you think of God talking to Adam and to Eve. The two shall no longer be one flesh, but they be show. The two shall no longer be two, but they shall become one flesh. And I've given you an order here. And this is your authority to go out
and to multiply and subdue the earth. You're over the earth. Multiply, subdue, and replenish. Something in a cookie jar is taken out, the cookies. Sandy goes to Costco for the kids and replenishes the cookie jar. So man and wife are replenishing. That's what marriage is for. So you want to get a generation before you take full control to believe that marriages aren't necessary. Men and women can just live together and have all the privileges together. Oh, that's destroying them. I've destroyed the image of God, who they are supposed to be representing him, multiplying, subduing, and replenishing. Let's let men marry men and women marry women. He's done it again. So he's at the end, and God in the Bible, in various places, all the way from the Old Testament, specifically New Testament, gives warnings that there is a day that you are going to all disappear or left for the judgment that is coming on this planet. And they have proven, just with the helium, that this is a young planet. And 1600 years after God created the first human beings, he sent the flood of Noah. And when you put the flood factor into all scientific research, it now tells you the pressure it took to form the Grand Canyon or the Colorado River or what it took to push mountains up that high or certain angles of mountains. And they're able to see that a flood would have caused the things that have brought the Rockies up and different things before this was all there. It's a young earth. You're a young person because you're going to live for eternity. And you eagerly, are earnest, with expectation, waiting to see God reveal the sons of God and to let all the creation, those of you that watch the Smart Guys channel, I just go through it, science something or other. One night I was surfing and they showed this sound coming through these big satellite dishes out in New Mexico. And they had discovered life in outer space. And they started, when they started these things, they had them all over the world. And there's this drone that some pick up. Some say it sounds like a pod of whales in Maui that have come from cold Alaskan waters, and they're birthing their calves. And you've seen that the pods of whales are underwater, and they talk. Well, the universe is talking. It's groaning. It knew what it was like in the presence of God when there was no sin anywhere in his creation. Those stars, those supernovas, those nebulas, those black holes, those things that we don't even understand that are there. Just for us to see a beautiful sunset, that's wonderful. But for that machine, that furnace, the sun, to be designed to spew heat and light for billions of years, who spun it? How is it turning? What motor's inside of it? Why is it not something that has decayed and died? Or will it someday in all the planets in its line? It's groaning. They know they're tired. Things are happening. Oh, and sometimes you've grown, go, oh, whoever you're living with, they say, what? Oh, nothing, it's just me. Oh, groaning again, is she? Oh, you know, you just feel bad. Or something happens and you just get, Lord, oh, Lord. And the Holy Spirit intercedes right there and he says, Lord, this person really needs a lot of help. You're in tune and he's breathing, bringing things in tune. And he is going to bless you. So he will help you in your weaknesses. He will pray for you and intercede with groanings. He searches the heart. He knows the spirit, makes intercession for the saints according to the will. And would you please stand? And we will read out loud verse 28. Please. And this is where we'll start next week. I'll read it first. And then I'd like you to read it together. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God,
to those who are called according to his purpose. Let us read that together. And we know that all things work together for good. To those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Let's read the first 8 words together. And we know that all things work together for good. Well, 10. All things. Not some things or a few things or once in a while. Whatever you're going through right now as you take communion, let it go before God. If you can't, Holy Spirit, just say a word. Help me release this guilt, this anger. God, let him intercede for you as we worship him. All things work together for good. All things. Even if you're in trouble, you've done something wrong and you're guilty, it will end up working for good if you release it into the Lord's hands. Trust him. Our God and our Father, as we take this communion, we thank you for the honor and the privilege to be used by you, to be able to hear you, to speak with you, to pray, to acknowledge you, to circle words in our Bibles and underline them, to write notes so that we can remember things you have taught us. We thank you that there is an earnest expectation of the creation, eagerly waiting for you to reveal the manifestation of the sons of God. And God, we're grateful that you have made it known through Paul that the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because you did this, because of the fall of man. Creation was so pure it could have overtaken man. We thank you, Lord, that the creation itself is going to be delivered from bondage, this beautiful thing that you created, from the corruption, the taste of decay, into glorious liberty. We thank you, Lord. Many of us didn't know that we have glorious liberty as being a child of God. Lord, we thank you that you've made it known by, we know, the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together, the whole creation, until now this truth. And not only that, God, those of us that have the first fruits of the Spirit in our lives, we now know that when we're groaning within ourselves, it's the Spirit eagerly waiting for the fulfillment of our adoption, the redemption of these old bodies that are scratched and cut and broken, twisted, bruised, weak, that you're giving us a new one. And we were saved with this hope, God. You were promised that we would go to heaven and we would leave the death of this planet. God, we come to you according to your word because Isaiah spoke. You spoke through him that there was a day he saw at the end where he said that the earth reels to and fro like a drunkard and it is removed out of its place like a cottage. Lord, you have said that the earth is defiled under her inhabitants. And Isaiah saw this almost 3,000 years ago. And we can smell the smog. And we can smell the stench of the city dump. And we see that our yard has turned brown. And that flowers die. And today we learn that they weren't designed. The world was designed to be beautiful for us to explore. For us to be like little children. Never having to fight or argue. Never having to hit someone or hit back. Never to say it. Terse, pointed word from our mouth to anyone. You gave us so much, Lord, and we don't know it all because we weren't there at the beginning. I ask you to help these people, this church. I'm being selfish, I know, but I'm asking you'll open their eyes and their ears. They'll begin hearing and seeing and give them the knowledge and understanding to fear you. That what they're being told around them is a lie. And the people spewing the lie are even prisoners in bondage to the corruption. And that we are to love people. I pray for these people that make this their home. they would become more serious about their love for you and for one another. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that the birth pangs of the return of Jesus can be felt. Help everyone here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.